Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Well, this series, all of July, as Roe has mentioned, is the series of a fresh start. And don't we need a fresh start sometimes? And even in midwinter, sometimes we think, wouldn't it be nice just to start again? And we've been talking about lessons from lockdown, you know, what people have been experiencing and how to make the most of that from COVID. But now it's a fresh season. There's a fresh opportunity for us. So the whole theme for this month is a fresh start. And I'm going to be preaching today on the chance to start again, a second chance at life. I have a teaching background. I was a secondary school teacher for a long time. And I remember the first school that I went to. It was a little school, and I was, you know, not much older than the kids themselves. I just graduated from university, looking at my first teaching job and feeling a little nervous, to be honest. I'm thinking, how am I going to get on with these kids? You know, will they like me? Will they respect me? What's it going to be like walking in there? You know, I've got kids who are just a few years younger than me. And I thought, maybe I'll just be good friends with them. Maybe that'll be my approach. I can just kind of be a cool teacher, just get on with the kids and, you know, just pal with them. And tell you what, 2 years after that, it was a disaster. I just launched in way too soft, way too palsy. I lost all credibility at this school. I had just zero ability to stand up in a class and say, all right, sit down, let's start. And I knew that I couldn't redeem that. It's like, they know me. I've let my guard down. I've been Mr. Nice and Mr. Cool, and sometimes when I need to be Mr. Grumpy as a high school teacher, I can't be because they'll just laugh at me. Say, come on, sir, you know, you don't like that. So I actually, it was a few other things going on, but it was time to leave that school and have a fresh start. And I learned. I wrote everything down that I did wrong. I said, I am not going to do that again in my new school. So I turn up at my new school, and there's a saying in teacher world that says, don't smile before Easter, which means if you start, you know, early January, don't smile before April, and then be really super grumpy, super stern, super strict, and you can always lighten up a little bit. But I was like this when I walked in. I took authority. I made sure that people did what I asked them to do. The kids were seated in the right spots and all that. And then I started to rest up just a little bit, and particularly as the kids got older and got to know me, and it was brilliant. The whole thing was a success. And I realized that I had the chance to start again, to reprogram myself, to learn from my mistakes and do it again. And so many, isn't that like that in life? Don't you wish it in some context? Oh, if only I could start again. If only I could redo that with my marriage. You know, I'm not saying start again there, like, but you know, or your family. We all make mistakes in careers, jobs, and things, and we think, oh, if only I knew now what I knew then, what if I knew then what I knew now, that's it, then couldn't I start again? And Jesus gives us that fresh start. He is, this is such an exciting scripture here. Come with me to John 3 as we enter this brand new fresh start season at C3 Bathurst. Come with me to the book of John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were the police, the religious police of their day. They were the ones who dictated what you could and couldn't do. They were the ones who were looking out, you know, well, this guy is doing the wrong thing on the Sabbath, or they shouldn't be doing that. And they were also very proud people, and they were genuinely trying to keep God's law. They really were. They were trying to do their best, but the problem is that they just turned everything into are very legalistic. You must do this, 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 and this, then God will be pleased at you. And there was one of these guys who was a ruler of the Jews, and his name was Nicodemus. And he was, it's like the thought police of the day. But the thing is, this man in verse 2 came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, Nicodemus had been watching Jesus. He'd watching these signs, and he'd made the connection that this man is not an ordinary man. He'd seen that this man had done incredible things. Like, he was healing blind people. Like Bartimaeus, there was this man. This is what Nicodemus might have seen. He might have seen this man cry out from the crowds as Jesus was walking through. He says, "Jesus, come, have mercy on me." And the whole crowd were going, "Shh, Nicodemus, shush, be quiet." But Jesus stops the crowd and says, "Hey, Bartimaeus, come, what is it that you want?" And he says, "I want to see again." And right there on the spot, Bartimaeus is healed and he can see. Imagine being there and watching that. Nicodemus was going, "Wow, who is this man?" There were paralytics that were healed. There was this crowd at a house once. So crowded that this paralyzed guy had four friends and they were carrying him on a stretcher and they couldn't get through the door. And they said, "I know, we could go through the roof." And so they cut a hole in the roof and they lower this guy down in front of Jesus. How's that for boldness? And Jesus heals him and forgives him and he starts walking. Can you imagine watching that? What sort of man is this? Lepers were completely healed. But more than that, he had life about him. Like, he was around kids. All the important people were saying, "Shoo the people away. Shoo them away. Jesus is too important for children." But Jesus would say, no, let them come to me. These are the great ones. These are the ones who have so much in them. He loved kids. He loved all kinds of people. He loved the outcasts. He loved the people who were disconnected and sitting alone. He'd go and talk to them. And more than that, he had this incredible way of providing miraculously. Like at the wine, maybe Nicodemus was at this wedding in Cana. Maybe he was watching from a distance as Jesus turned all these huge, big water gallons into the best and finest wine that people had ever experienced. He's going, "What kind of man does this?" Maybe Nicodemus knew about the feeding of the 5,000, where 5,000 men and then women and children, maybe 10,000 people, had this meal from just a little bit of fish and bread. And Nicodemus would have been thinking, "This is not an ordinary man." That's why he says in chapter 2, in verse 2, he says, "No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Have you ever witnessed something like that? Something beautiful, something special, something that just takes your breath away? And you go, "That's different to the things of this world." Nicodemus might have been thinking, "That's so different to the way I act. I act in, I'm so cold about my religion and I'm so grumpy and I'm so stern with people." And he sees Jesus so full of love, so full of compassion, so full of joy and life. And Nicodemus looks around at his religious friends and they go, "They're so grumpy. Surely, you know, there's something wrong with us because we're just frowning all the time and telling people off." That's why he comes out at night, because he's afraid of what other people might think, but he has to talk to Jesus. Maybe you're like that. You look around at your friends and they're all so correct, but there's no life in them. It's time to hang around some life-giving friends. Maybe you could start again. Maybe you see something beautiful in a friendship or relationship and think, "Oh, I wish my marriage was like that. I wish my friends talked to me like that." Or maybe you see people successful in life and you think, "Oh, I wish I could do that better." Or maybe you see people with a close walk with God. They pray and they read the Bible without too much effort and, "Oh, I wish I wish I could get some of that. I'm telling it today is a chance for a fresh start, a chance to start over. You can have these things. It could just be that today a brand new season in your world begins. And so Jesus answered him. Now, Nicodemus didn't really ask a question, but Jesus knew what he was thinking. He says in chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you want to see something new, if you want to experience and visualize something fresh, you can't do that unless you're born again. Now, that word has got a whole lot of bad press over the years, hasn't it? You know, people walking around saying, "Are you born again?" Or they might say, I'm a born-again Christian. And everybody cringes. But the thing is, Jesus uses this term. We've got to understand it. And it's had maybe an unfortunate cultural context. But let me explain, because Nicodemus was puzzled by this. And I think that you and I can be too. Because Nicodemus says to him, Jesus, verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old?" He's don't think too hard about the visuals, but he's thinking them, right? He's thinking, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? How does that work? But Jesus says in verse 5, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." What is he talking about? Flesh and spirit and born again. You see, Jesus is talking about this great exchange that can happen. There's something going on here. It's where we let go of our old life, our grumpy life, our critical life, our negative life and cynical and all those things that Nicodemus was and he saw in his friends. And Jesus says, you're going to let go of that. But to see it really, you've got to let me take that and I will give you what I have in exchange. It's like, all right, this is what it's like. I have an old push bike. It's 15 years old. When I bought it, I thought it was the best bike. It had some alloy frames and I did buy it on eBay or something. It wasn't the most expensive bike, but, you know, I didn't have much money and I needed it to get all my kids. I used to put them on the back, little panniers, little kids riding on there, and had an absolute blast with this bike. And I don't ride it a lot, but when I ride it, I enjoy it. And it's my bike. It's silver and it's fun. Now, last time I rode it on holidays, the spokes on the front wheel started to pop. I thought, probably need to do something about that. And they were popping in, and I didn't realize that I'd already lost two or three. Finally, I took it to the bike shop down here. And I walked this thing in, pretty proud of my bike, you know. I was joking to the lady. I said, "Do you do trade-ins?" And she just frowned at me and she said, "I get that joke a lot." I said, "Oh, okay. Maybe you could help me fix it." She goes, "I'll just get the fixing guy." So fixing guy comes out. I see. I said, "Look, great old bike." He says, "Yeah, it's old." I said, "Look, I know it's done a little bit of work." He said, "It probably didn't cost you much when you bought it, did it?" I said, "What?" Offended. I paid $250 for this bike. I said, "Look, I've got a problem on the front wheel and the gear's not quite working so well. Can you just have a look at it?" He looks at it, picks up the spokes and says, "Can't do anything, mate. It's got spoke cancer." I said, "Spoke cancer?" He said, "Yes, spoke cancer." I said, "What's spoke cancer?" He says, "Well, if we fix one, it'll just break another one. And if we fix that one, it'll break that one." He says, "You need a whole new wheel." And I'm thinking, eBay, tip, Bathurst. Surely there's some wheel I can pinch from somewhere. I said, "All right, new wheel." I said, "Well, can you look at the gears?" He looks at the gears. He goes, kind of picks the chain up like that. He said, you're going to need a new chain. I said, oh, all right. He looks at the cable, and that you're going to need a new cable too. And he said, look, I'm going to be honest with you, mate. It's not worth fixing. He said, what? I was a little bit offended by this. This is my pride and joy. And I have to, after swallowing my pride, agree with him. There are moments in your life where you just need to start again. The times when somebody, you just have to look to what can I redo here? And sometimes it's things that we hold on to that really aren't worth holding on to. When I looked around this shop and there's some nice bikes in this shop. It's like that with us. We've got all these things inside of us, things that we've held on to for 15 years or more, things that we've kind of put up with, but we think they're okay, but really they're not. And we think they'll get us by, but actually when we lean on them a little, they'll just give up at a key moment. And there is a moment where we just have to start again. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, I'm going to give you the chance to start again, but you've got to be born again. He says, you give me your life and I'll give you mine. It's an exchange. I wish they did that at the bike shop. Like, yeah, you take mine and I'll take that one. But Jesus says, no, genuinely true. You can have my life that's full of healing and blessing and provision and power and joy and life, and I'll take your crumpled up, miserable, critical, cynical self. That's if that's you. It was me, certainly. And we'll just do a great big swap. That's what it is to be born again. You can have a fresh start. What an incredible opportunity. That's what it is to have life in Jesus inside of you. That's why we get excited at church. That's why we have worship music. That's why we invest money in building places and streaming things so that people can see it and experience it for themselves, because we are passionate about what the life that Jesus brings us. We have a fresh start because all of us who know Christ needed a fresh start. It's not about how good you are or how much you've done. It's about whatever you have to give to Jesus. He's going to take that but give you back in exchange a brand new life. And that's what Jesus offers. Do you know what? We know that Nicodemus did that. He was there. He was helping bury Jesus with another man. He actually provided all the expensive burial ointments and things. Like, he was so generous. Something transformed in Nicodemus' life. He was born again. It was awesome. And that's the same for us. I'm going to get Ben to come up on the stage. We're going to finish off here. But I want to just take a moment. If you're watching now and if you're honest and you're like Nicodemus and you need a fresh start and you watch Christians and maybe you've been annoyed by them because they smile too much. Stop smiling. It's not funny. You know these people who are overly happy. But maybe secretly you're going, oh, wish I had some joy in my life. Or you've watched maybe a family. And I go, I wish I had the love that was in that family. You've watched someone's career and they've just trusted God. They've given tithes and offerings. And you go, how do they afford that when they give so much away? But secretly, you want the blessing of God's life inside of you. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you're in Christ, you are a brand new creation. The old is gone. And the new has come. Today is a fresh start for you. It's the chance to start again. Maybe you've been along the Christian life for a while and it's time for a new start. Maybe you've lost touch with church somewhere, but it's now time to re-engage with church, with a community of faith. Maybe you've never known or experienced God, but you're going, I need something more because my life, it feels dry and crumpled and cynical. Maybe today it's your chance for a fresh start. Whether you've known Jesus before or not, it doesn't matter. Today is a brand new beginning. Why don't you join us and celebrate this brand new life. There's three things that I'd love you to do if you're one of those people. First thing is to pray. I'm going to pray with you in just a moment. The second thing is to connect in. Don't do this life alone. That's why there's so many ways to connect. Connect with us online and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. But make sure you fill out a form at the bottom of our website, c3churchbathurst.org, online. Let us know that you'd like to follow Christ, and we'll get support around you and people in your world. Lastly, read. Here is a great book that I would love to give to you. I'll get it out to you somehow. It's called A Fresh Start. And it explains what this Christian life is all about. It goes into the detail of it. It's not a big book, but it will absolutely help you to understand the whole deal. If you've ever wondered, what is a Christian anyway? What do they believe in? What's the Bible? I'm telling you, I'll get this book out to you this week and help you understand the whole deal. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.